Good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning. My name is Dave Kabikian.
And good morning. I'm Jean Marie Schaefer.
Hi, Jean Marie. Jean Marie and I are two of the attorneys from the Herzog Law Firm, and some combo of us and Phil are here every single weekend talking to you about estate planning and elder law. You could call in with any questions and comments at 518-476-5900. You could see Jean Marie, myself, or Phil in one of our four offices up in Queensbury, down in Kingston, and in the middle where we are right now, Jean Marie in Albany and in Saratoga Springs. You know, Jean Marie, we're always here with the John Gabriel. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
And we may not be seeing John quite as frequently because...
Oh, don't make me sad.
Well, John decided...
Well, there's nothing sad about it. I mean, Ben Patton will be back here where
That's
he
right.
was...
We love Ben.
For many years, and Ben's been here since Harry started the show.
I remember my first show was with Ben.
And so it's been a long time. So, and believe it or not, Ben's been bugging me to get back in here.
Very nice.
See you guys.
We can't wait to see
you. And I said, I can use the break, so sure.
You mean you don't want to work 8 days a week?
Or nine.
Or nine.
Yeah.
Well, you deserve a break. That's true.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I will miss you. I'll see you when Ben's on vacation. I'll be back.
Yeah.
See you guys.
So, it'll be great.
So, yeah, it's not a, you know.
And if you want to tell John how sad you're going to be to miss him, you can just call the show.
518-476. I'm still here on Magic for 6 days a week. So
5900. Okay. So it's been super busy, John.
Yeah. Well, you guys have been doing a lot.
We're all over.
Yeah, you are.
Jean Marie.
Yeah, I don't know.
I barely see Jean Marie.
I don't see you. We pass each other in the parking lot sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're running around with different offices, but also just when we're in the same office, it's different conference rooms. And
yes, that's
you know,
right.
Thank God. Things are busy. Sometimes it's not very good busy because it means that things aren't going so well for our clients.
That's true.
Certain kind of appointment. And then other times it's a really great appointment where everything's great and life is good and we're just planning for the future. And, you know, I was thinking on the ride over, there's such a range of the kinds of meetings you may walk into, Jean Marie. You may see on your calendar, you're meeting with, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Smith. And you don't know if it's because they just lost a loved one or if because there's been a diagnosis.
Right.
They're just planning. Are they newlyweds? Did they just have their first kid? Did they just have their first great grandkid? And you never really know, you know?
You don't know. Yes. Yeah. And yesterday, this lady was signing and her little 2-year-old granddaughter was there.
That's the one who was making so much noise.
Yes.
I was trying to figure out, is there a 2-year-old in here?
She was adorable. Aww. So we love that. That was...
What a great age.
So was she babysitting her granddaughter?
No, her daughter was there. And her daughter brought the granddaughter. Uh-huh. So it was
the
whole family there. It was great.
That's nice.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we always talk about callers and, you know, it is a call-in show. 518-476-5900. But we do have a lot of listeners, Jean Marie. A lot of clients that listen as well.
That's
and
great.
I actually got an email from a client with a wonderful idea for what we should talk about. So good morning, Wayne. Thanks for the suggestion. So
nice.
He said that he was reading an article, and the article was talking about the difference between something called per stirpes and something called per capita. And it's a way that you could leave your money. And oftentimes when we do wills, or if someone out there goes and looks at their will, they'll see that things are going to whoever they wanted. Maybe everything goes to my issue, my children. And then there'll be the words per something. And, and normally it's per stirpes.
Well, clients say per stripes, per strips, what does that mean?
It's still a funny name.
Well, stirpes is a
short
Latin,
for something?
Latin word.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Latin. And stirpes word means it's like a word for roots. And when we're talking about family trees and we start talking about roots, it all starts to make sense. So, Jean Marie, if you have two children, and you, which you do, and I have two children, which I do, if you left everything to your issue per stirpes, that would mean what exactly?
So that would mean it gets split between the two of them.
Because you have two branches.
That's right.
We're looking at these roots of the tree, and
that's
you have two branches.
Family branch spreads. And then if one of them predeceased me, it would go down to their children.
we keep going down the branch.
Right, which I really have no hope of getting grandchildren. But
what? Well. They're in their 20s, oh, no. Jane Marie.
Well, first of all, don't rush it.
Jane Marie, how old were you when you got married?
Okay, I was 28.
Okay, and how old were you when you had your first child?
30 or 31.
And how old are your kids right now?
24 and 26.
Okay. Well, I rest my case, John Gabriel.
Oh, wow. It could be any day now. You don't know.
No, you're a good cross examiner.
You add to it, they all wait longer. There was this. Mm-hmm. We'll get back to this Persterpes in a second.
Yeah.
I was looking at this. That you know, I assume it's correct because it was on the internet, but it was a chart that showed that the percentage of 30-year-old men, who are married. Mm-hmm. Have kids and own a home.
Must be very small.
That percentage over time has really shrunk, where in like the 80s and 70s and it was, you know, 30, 40, 50%.
Right.
Because you just started everything earlier. And now I think everyone, you know, I got married at 30.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, getting married in your 20s now is almost like the rarity.
That's right. I'm rushing things a little bit, I guess.
Well, you just want, I mean, you saw the 2-year-old grandchild.
I loved that 2-year-old granddaughter yesterday. Oh, I wanted to steal her.
You can't do that.
I know, I can't do that.
So Persterpes is following this family tree, and Jane Marie gave a great example, unfortunately, of you know, where it really matters is children predeceasing and so on. And and the idea is that we keep the branches. So if we said, Jane Marie, that one of your boys listened to the show today and they decided to give you 3 grandkids, and the other one decided to only give you one.
True.
The words Persterpes really now matter, because if, God forbid, something happened to both of your boys, you know, then how those, you know, is it Persterpes or per capita really matters, because Persterpes, we're following those tree branches and one grandchild would stand to get a whole 50% share.
Right.
While the other three split their father's 50% share as well.
That's right.
Would you say Persterpes is like the more common route, or what do you find?
Absolutely. I would say that's, you know, the majority of the clients want that. A little bit interesting because we're talking about this. Yesterday at 5, I spoke to someone who's signing Monday and they don't want Persterpes.
So what do they want?
So they wanted to go all to children, surviving children.
Mm.
So it's a little different. If one child dies, it goes to the remaining children.
So I've seen that here and there. So the idea, if I'm understanding it correctly, is that if something happened to one of your kids, nothing goes to their children. Everything goes to your other son. And is there he'll know how to take care of my other grandkids? Or what was their take
on it? No, their reasoning was it all goes to the kids. And only if all the kids are gone, then it goes down to all the grandkids. So, you know, a little different, not common. Right?
And so it's almost a shade of the other thing, which is per capita. So if I said to you that, you know, the average use of a cell phone in America per capita is 7 hours, it would mean that it's per person, per head, per capita. Mm-hmm. And so if you leave things per capita instead of per stirpes, and again, bad, you know, doom and gloom happens to your two kids. One grandkid on one side, 3 grandkids on the other, per capita actually treats each grandchild the same.
That's right.
And so, you know, every grandkid gets 25%. And in theory, one of the branches really was loaded with 75% of the money, but it's per capita. So some people say, well, that's fair because I want all my grandkids to be treated the same.
Yeah, that's what this client was doing. So if we actually went down to grandchildren level, it's evenly among all the grandchildren.
The reason this matters so much, and I think the reason why Wayne brought it to our attention, is because when we do a will, when we do a trust, almost always, except for, you know, the kind of exception you're talking about, we'll say it's per stirpes.
Yes.
Okay. Or as opposed to per capita. But people have investments out there. People have, you know, retirement accounts and annuities and all sorts of things. And it's important for you to know how that investment firm handles things.
Yes.
Because they may say the default is per capita. They may say the default is per stirpes. And you need to know, because we need those things to match your overall estate plan. We handle the trust. We handle the will.
Right.
We need the other pieces of the plan to fit your picture.
Yeah. I always ask the client to check with your investment company, right? See what their roles are. And sometimes you can't get as creative as we do, where if one person dies, it goes into a trust for another one. So in that case, the beneficiary designation doesn't really work. So we're going to want to have that money go to the trust.
Right.
So we can set up more creative options.
Now, you know, estate planning attorneys and us are now saying, well, don't, as at the same time, don't rely too much on those beneficiary designations on those accounts, because you may want rules. It's one thing to say, well, I got it right, it's per stirpes. Mm-hmm. When your grandkids are grandkids, and they're 2, 4, and 7, right, I don't want them to be getting money. So I still want rules on when they inherit. I want to make sure that, you know, it's, you know, at age 25 or age 30. So it becomes very important, guys out there, not just to make sure you have the right beneficiaries or the form per capita per stirpes. We also want to make sure that if you want rules on your money, you know, money at certain ages, we got to link these brokerage accounts, these CDs, we got to link all those things to your actual estate plan, to your will or your trust. Otherwise, people might get money at the wrong time.
Yeah, that, I did that with another client who we had done a will, and like two of the beneficiaries need supplemental needs trusts. And then as we're talking further, you know, her beneficiary designations don't reflect that, right?
Yeah.
So we are going with a revocable trust to make sure everything can go to those special trusts as she wants it.
And I would venture to guess, Jamrie, that at the end of that signing appointment, when they come in to actually sign everything, you're probably sitting there and saying, okay, now let's go back to your client questionnaire. Let's look at your money.
Yes.
You know, your house is already in, because we always take care of the real estate, and you're kind of mixing and matching. And it actually becomes very, very helpful, because when we talk about some of the other things we're going to talk about this morning, where we have second relationships or second spouses or, or, you know, certain desires as to who gets our money, we can really specify in the trust how that's all going to work.
Right. And you want to change, you're going to want to change your beneficiary designations to match that.
Yeah. And in general, because I'm a very lazy person, I mean, I work hard and all that, but outside of, you know, I feel like I could probably do more stuff. I like when one document needs to be changed in the future. So if you link everything to your trust or to your will, ideally the trust to avoid probate,
right,
if one day you want to change your percentages, if Jamrie all of a sudden has a bunch of grandkids and she decides, I love my boys, I'm going to give them each, you know, 40% of the pie one day, but I want to set up a 20% part of the pie for my, you know, the class of people called grandkids,
right,
just so I know I directly helped them. You're making one amendment to one document as opposed to changing every single account that you have.
That's a lot easier, right, than remembering where you have accounts or if you change accounts to put beneficiaries on them.
Yeah. So the other thing I really want to talk about, because I was looking at, I was on the way in or the, you know, this morning, I look at like the appointments, John, that, that I had the last couple of days. And I just am like, I can't believe this range, because again, it could be like, this is a phone call for a guardianship, and this will be for a basic will.
Wow.
This is going to be a signing for a really complicated estate planning, you know, estate tax avoiding kind of plan. And even though we don't do other areas of law within this area, I think maybe this is the reason why you want a really, you know, nothing but estate planning, nothing but elder law kind of attorneys, because even within the profession, there is such a range of things. You know, an estate administration is nothing like the planning.
Right.
But you need to know about how the estate administration works to come up with a good plan to avoid the pitfalls of the administration, right? It's this never-ending cycle.
So that keeps you on your toes, all that stuff.
Well, I say so, and Jamrie, it gets us to use our brains in different ways, and it allows us to be creative. And I think maybe in the second half of the show, we'll show you how creative we can be. We'll be right back with the second half of the Herzog Law Firm's Estate and Medicaid Planning Show right after this.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, Saratoga Springs, and 130 North Front Street in Kingston, our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, or Phil, please call us during normal business hours Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us in Albany or Saratoga offices, call 518-465-7581 or our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
Good morning. We're back. My name is Dave Kubikian.
And my name is Jay Marie Schaefer.
And Jay Marie and I, in the first half of the show, we're talking to you about this thing called purse stirpes. Don't try to spell check it because it's not going to work out. You're going to get a red,
it'll make it strips or stripes.
You're going to get a red squiggly line. Right. Stirpes, the Latin term, you know, per the branches of my family tree. Mm-hmm. I'm going to treat each branch the same, or per capita. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give, you know, a class of people all the same. I'm going to treat all my grandkids the same, regardless of the tree branches and so on.
Right, right.
And then we started to talk about just this wide range of what we do. And I want to kind of pivot that, Jay Marie, to not only is it this range, but every word that we hear actually is relevant. And sometimes it can make or break a fact pattern, because the difference between someone being your life partner and someone being your spouse is a really, really big deal. And I don't mean just in terms of, you know, what happens if the relationship breaks down or something. I mean, how does Medicaid look at a spouse compared to a partner? Mm-hmm. What happens with probate when we're dealing with a spouse or a partner? So maybe, Jeremy, you could start to tackle the Medicaid piece, because there's a huge difference between a crisis plan. Someone's in a nursing home and you learn that the person they've been cohabitating with for 25, 30 years is a partner and not a spouse.
That makes a big difference, because there's some good things you can do if you're married in the Medicaid world. You can transfer assets between spouses without any penalties. So we've had that happen, and this actually happened a long time ago, where they were living together and not married. One went in the nursing home, and they went out of the nursing home to get married so we could transfer the house.
So if we have a spouse, it's like a get out of jail free card. Right. There's unlimited transfer. There's no 5-year look back. We don't care. Medicaid doesn't care. You can move money between spouses. It is huge, because once you're done moving that money, and all of a sudden the spouse that needs a nursing home has, you know, 30 grand in their name, and the spouse that doesn't has everything else.
Right.
The well spouse, right, can actually do something called a spousal refusal to say, hey, look, I need this money for the rest of my life. You know, I'm not, you know, living, you know, on gold plated toilets here. And I'm already about to lose a lot of income from my spouse. I'm going to hold on to all this income. And that refusal normally is going to go unchallenged by the county. And it's a great way to get immediate approval for Medicaid.
And it makes people, like, sometimes people are, maybe it's their second or third relationship and they don't see a need to get married. You know, other than if we point out some great financial reason to, then they may want to do that.
And you know, it's not just the spouse refusal. Medicaid says your house counts against you unless you have a spouse in the house. And Dr. Seuss came up with the statutes. But it's true, because if there is a qualified individual, so your spouse, in the home, that home is exempt. Now, why are we doing trust then if we just, because I don't know what order bad things are going to happen in. I don't know when your spouse is going to pass. I don't know if they're going to continue. Everyone gets older. You know, your spouse is going to get older as well. At some point, there isn't a spouse in the house for a number of reasons. It's not that funny, Jamie. These are just two words that rhyme. But it's huge ramifications. And I'm going to one-up you on your example, because this happened during COVID. Where, so partners, John, been together forever. He's wanted to get married. She's always said no, but they've been living together. He's in a nursing home. It's like May of COVID 2020. Not married. Columbia County. And we're trying to get someone to go to the nursing home to wed them. To get to get the
COVID,
license.
That must have been tough.
And the facility won't let anyone in. And now we're saying, could we do it where we open up the window and you're on the other side of the window? Could we do it
where
he comes to the vestibule where you enter? And the reason why was because when it's partner living at home, that home is not exempt.
Not protected.
And he wasn't going to qualify for Medicaid. And even if we were able to get him qualified, there would be a lien that would grow exponentially.
Well, how did you get them married?
Well, enough time went by.
Okay.
That the world opened up a little bit more so they can get married.
Oh,
but for two
okay.
or 3 months, we were in trouble.
I was picturing it through the window.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
It would have been, I mean...
the window wedding.
And in all other parts, I mean, life, you know, health insurance, it matters with spouses. Taxes sometimes will matter with spouses. There's some other benefits, you know, pensions and things like that, where there might be some benefits. But just like... off the top, this house is either 100% protected or not protected
not at all
right. because of that word.
Right.
And it doesn't matter that you treated each other like spouses or that you fought like spouses.
The actual
designation matters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's a good reason to get
married.
To know.
Yeah. Sometimes people come in, Jamie, and they say, you know, the couple that you met with says that, you know, we have three kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then I always look at the questionnaire. I like to see when, you know, people got married.
Right.
A lot of September anniversaries, by the way, around here.
Okay.
It's a great time of year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you'll see, wait a minute, they got married in 1985, but this child was born in 1982.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
And it's,
yeah.
And it might be that it's a child from a previous relationship.
Yes.
Oh,
and,
gee, you have to find out.
We need to know whose kids are whose, right?
Well, yeah. Why do we need to know, Jamie? Why is it so
because
important?
Because if I'm doing the will and I say I leave this all to my children and I consider my husband's prior child as my own, but that wouldn't count in the will.
Right. So in the eyes of New York, you know, if you have two kids of your own and one kid that was, you know, his and you've known her since she was two and it's like your daughter like your daughter is not your daughter.
No. Right.
Right. And so if Jamie does something where she says, I give everything to my kids or everything to my issue.
Right.
What that means is she's leaving things to two people, not all three.
Right.
And when we're drafting, it matters. Right.
Right. We have to account for that. So. So if that's my stepchild, I can either name her or I can say children include stepchildren or there's different ways
you're
gonna
to
be
do specific about
very specific.
Stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
We need to know all the details
is
what it is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like my kid is not my kid.
Right.
My half child or rather, I guess my adopted child is.
Adopted is legally your child.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And, you know, when it comes to later on looking at siblings, a half sibling is a whole sibling in New York. So so if, you know, John, you and I share the same father for purposes of inheritance rights, it's like you're my full blood sibling. So
those
things all matter and we'll need to know all of that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But it's we need to know that and map that out. And sometimes you're drawing a family tree and trying to figure out.
Yeah.
A few relationships going on there.
Yeah.
And those
could
be
hard.
Those are the lovely examples because one of the less lovely is a gentleman comes in, right? And he's, you know, 50 years old and he's got two kids from a previous relationship. He wants to leave everything to his two kids and he, you know, refers to his ex and this and that. But they're not actually divorced, Jamie. They're maybe separated. Maybe they're just living apart.
Right.
And now it really matters because spouses have all sorts of rights.
Yes. Don't go, it's happened to me a few times. Don't go to the point of getting separated and not finish it, you know.
Well, it doesn't
in terms
mean,
of estate planning,
yeah.
right?
So, and by finish it, it doesn't actually mean you have to be divorced, but spouses have rights. So
they
in
rights.
The state of New York, you're not allowed to just disinherit a spouse. And if you do, if Jamie and I are married and I leave everything to John, Jamie can say that wasn't very nice of you. and she can exercise something called a right of election.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Where she can get a piece of the pie and the pie is not just my house and the things in my trust. It's also other things outside of my, my trust, like retirement accounts and so on.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Okay. I had an estate like that and they were separated and they... Of course, they said, we don't want each other's stuff, but the wife died, right? And everything, not everything, but, went to the husband.
Mm.
But not, she had a will, it was complicated.
She had an old one.
An old will, leaving it to the husband, but she didn't want it. She wanted it to go to her cousins, but that could not happen because they didn't have the divorce papers.
Yeah. And if it's less formal and... husband passes or ex-husband, whatever you want to call him, dies and he wants everything to go to his two kids. Right. If that will has to go through probate, we actually have to go through spouse. She's technically the spouse.
When
we petition the court and we show, here's the lay of the land.
Mm-hmm.
there's a little line for spouse, John, and you either need to write spouse and you write the date of the divorce, you write the date of that spouse's death, or that spouse is an interested party, and we got to go through them.
They're Now they know, checked out.
Or they may not know that they have that right of election.
Wow.
Now they find out, oh, I can get a third.
Yeah. Right. And, to me, the most important of these kinds of examples is that spouse or partner one, because, yes, we talked about the house. There's also huge income ramifications as well when it comes to Medicaid. Jamie, I'd venture to guess that the most successful, this may not be fair to say, the most successful home care fact patterns are going to be the ones where we still have a spouse that's doing okay as well, because we know... John, we can, first of all, we have a lot of unpaid care in the home in the form of that spouse.
Okay. Yeah.
But also the way that the Medicaid income rules work, and we'd have to clean up brains off the walls if we started going into that this morning, you know, at 8:30 in the morning. But the way the income rules work, we could also protect lots of income. And when we have a spouse involved, it's all the better.
You can protect a lot more income if you have a spouse. So that works out there.
All right. Yeah.
By the way, I'm not giving my husband any unpaid care. Forget it.
You're going to, what do you want to do? You want to get paid for it or?
No, I'm going to pay someone else. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, well, I see.
Yeah.
That's fine, Jamie.
Okay.
Well,
he's sick. I'm going, I'm traveling.
Well, we already know about the pool boy. Yeah. We heard about that one a couple weeks ago.
Oh, man. Yeah. We don't have time for this,
but,
do we?
But Jamie, hold on. Let's be serious here for a moment.
Okay.
Yes.
Because there are clients that feel the same way you do, and it's not for a lack of love or affection, but they'd prefer to plan ahead. So someone in your shoes better make sure you have a Medicaid trust. You better make sure you do it ahead of time. So if we're in that situation, you at least have the option of getting that kind of care.
Right. Because he's a terrible patient. Yeah.
He's a doctor.
He's a doctor, so the worst patient. Yeah.
Self-diagnosing.
Self-diagnosing. Yeah, when he's sick, he's miserable. Yeah.
And when he's not sick, is he okay?
Does
Mike listen to the show ever?
He doesn't. That's why I'm saying all this.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
Does Mike know there's a recording of the show that is available at all times?
He does not know that, and you're not telling him.
That's funny.
The secrets we keep.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I guess the lesson, though, is that like these words matter. And how, you come up with your plan, the idea of how you want things to go, and then you have to divulge all these details to us so we can then advise you.
Right.
Based on what you're saying, per capita makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Based on your wishes, I think it's going to be per stirpes.
Right.
We need to be prepared for very young people getting money, so we need trust language for them.
Right.
You guys have loved each other for 40 years, but you're not married and you don't want to get married. Understood. We'll meet you where you are.
That's right.
But we got to do a little different type of planning for you to make sure that everything's protected.
Yeah. Stepchildren's important too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even in terms of your children's stepchildren, that's important. I've had clients say, oh, my son has a stepchild and I want to treat that as my grandchild. Right.
Uh-huh.
So we have to
whatever you want.
Craft the language there.
John, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Do you get to just pick whatever songs you want to play on the radio?
Doesn't work that way.
You have a set list? Well, how's it work?
Yes, it does, yeah. Hard to explain in layman's terms, but which is what you try to do here every week,
right.
Explain what you do in layman's terms. We have a certain group of songs. We divide them into categories. The computer rotates them evenly for us, and bing, bang, boom.
So if right now you wanted to play a song, you could or you couldn't?
I could be breaking the rules.
Okay, no, I don't
break the rules. Don't break the rules.
But no, I was thinking, you could be like, hey, I'm stepping back from this estate planning show and just play your song of your choice to play it out.
On the air, here on Magic, like always. So,
well, we'll expect...
It's not a goodbye. It's just you see you later.
There's a line in one of those funny mockumentary type movies, and it's like it's not goodbye, it's I'll never see you again. We hope to see you soon.
We will see you again.
Of course you will. Yeah, absolutely. And look at that.
Yeah, it's perfect.
All right, guys.
Like
take
love.
Care.
Have a good weekend.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you would like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581 or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.